what up, what up, what up, what up, what up? Welcome, 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 welcome. It's me again. Your boy Ray Nitty holding it down on the grapevine, man, on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Man, I got a story to tell y'all, man, these next 2 hours, man. I want to tell y'all about, you know, something I've been extremely passionate about. You might have heard the story of CWC, the community within the corridor. You might have heard the story about the evacuation that happened. We had to evacuate over 50 families. You probably heard about the remediation and so forth, but I'm going to tell y'all a story. I want y'all to follow me today, right? I want y'all to follow me. I'm going to tell y'all a story, then I want to get into, after I tell you the story of a dream, right, that a few black men had in Milwaukee, then I want to tell you how this city turns dreams upside down into nightmares. We've allowed a toxic, toxic environment to grow right under our noses, right here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And how we handle it in Milwaukee is very different across the state. And this is important to me because, you know, I see so much conversation about people caring about pollution and all of these other things. But we have real environmental injustice issues happening right here in Milwaukee. I've been loud about it. I've been not taken serious about it. I ran for office because they told me to shut up about it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to run just to tell the story. Now I'm obligated to speak up on it. But I'm going to tell y'all a story. Tell y'all the story of CWC. Then I'm going to tell y'all about a toxic town, a toxic identity. Then I want to tell y'all about the impact that these toxins, these terrible landfills, these companies that have polluted our neighborhoods, made billions upon billions of dollars, just allowed to just leave. Leave these toxic landfills in our communities, poisoning our people. So we want to get to the behavioral impact that these things are happening, that these things are having on our community. That's what I want to talk about today. So I'm going to start with the story. About 10 years ago, 11 years ago, riding with my homie, Michael Wesley. He just graduated the Acre program. Looking for development sites in the inner city of Milwaukee to do something bigger than ourselves for our people. 833-212-1017, that's the number to dial. 833-212-1017, that's the number to dial. If you or your family member, anybody, grandparents, parents, great-grandparents, ever worked at Master Lock, Briggs & Stratton, Bostic, I want y'all to pay attention to this, all right? But I'm going to start with the story first because it all started with a dream. I know that ain't bunk. I know that ain't this bald head. I know it ain't. I know it. I got to treat him and beat him. I got to treat him and beat him. We got to treat him and beat him. We got to. He done threw it. I'm sweating because Bump done. I said don't come down here looking for me. He done popped up. I'm sweating in here, y'all. I summoned him earlier in the election. And when I summoned him, I know the other bald head dude fell out the race. So it had to work. We gonna get bump on the show. We gonna get bump on the show. But let me tell y'all about the story. About 10 years ago, riding with the homie Mike Kale, man, up and down Center Street, Fond du Lac Center. Y'all probably seen it numerous times. Abandoned building, sat vacant. Vacant in the community for over 35 years. Follow me. Nobody cared about it. People breaking into it, stealing out of it, copper, lead, well, that, all the things. Kids getting in trouble in it. A toxic landfill left unoccupied in our communities after Briggs & Stratton closed down. We drove past this building and said, you know what? We want to do something with it. We want to do something with it for our people. Later that day, Michael got a call from his Acre classmate, QLME. He's like, man, bro, we should do this site. I've been reaching out to this realtor. Turns out it was the same site we was talking about. So we like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. It took a long time to get from dream to fruition. Throughout that, we had all types of different hiccups, all types of different people we spoke to. I personally knocked the neighborhood doors, walked that neighborhood. I personally talked to every house in that vicinity, sharing what's to come, asking what would they like to see. Because it had to be a representation of the community that it served. We met people like Miss Marjani, who does neighborhood gives back out of her house right on the corner of Locust. Gives people furniture, gives people food. Met people like Miss Farina Brooks and the Dream Team doing amazing things in that community. Met people like Metcalf Park doing amazing things in the community. So how do we build? How do we build on something? How do we bring community together? How do we reinvent our neighborhoods? How do we rebuild people and not just buildings? That was my goal. It wasn't about the buildings. It was about how do we redevelop families in the inner city of Milwaukee? The worst place, one of the worst places to raise black families. It's easy to redevelop a building. It wasn't easy to redevelop families, so we made partnerships. I talked to District 7. I talked to Office of Violence Prevention. We had a cohort of black therapists that was willing to, we was offering free, I offered free space on my side. So we could have these rapid response and wraparound services for families. Knocking on doors, people said they wanted to see a grocery store. People said they needed to see a laundromat. We had all these things. We had all these things lined up. But one thing I learned in this process is, you know, as a creative, when you got ideas and vision, you know, as a creative, you are looking at the biggest picture. And some people just looking at the biggest line item, unfortunately. So, yeah, we had a struggle with the actual dream and delivering on everything we said this dream was supposed to be, because you had construction workers raising the price of items, overcharging, not building things the way it should be, white boxing spaces that were supposed to be designed a certain way. So I'm telling y'all about this story because I want y'all to know how we got to this point. $70 million we invested in the 32nd and Strength Center Street, the old Briggs & Stratton site. 197 residential units, indoor gym, basketball courts, playground, a whole campus, three city blocks, essentially from 30th and Center to 33rd and Center, from Center Street to about Hadley. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll continue this story on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. What up, y'all? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is The Grapevine with your boy Ray Nitty holding it down, man. If you're just joining us, I'm talking about the story of CWC and how it came to be and now where we're at today, the toxic injustice, environmental injustice that's going on in the city of Milwaukee that I feel that is impacting our people on so many different levels that we're not even exploring. The behavioral issues. And not just young people, adults as well. So I'm going to keep going to this story, right? Telling y'all the story of how the CWC came into be. The largest affordable housing in Wisconsin state history that was privately owned just happened to be owned by some black brothers. Then we had a partner, Roars Development. But respectfully, majority of the work was, as far as putting the deal together, was done by us. And they came in with the finances, and very, very thankful for them having that finance book, because we would have been in a whole different situation when the evacuations and all of these things happened, because they footed that bill. And we're going to get into the evacuation as well that happened. But yeah. Just giving y'all the story of the development. So it was supposed to be this transformative, catalytic development that was supposed to spur and spark all types of different developments in the area. A development said to have over $112 million economical impact on the neighborhood. $70 million in costs, which was supposed to be $60, but due to inflation and you know, the price of materials in the pandemic, because we started before the pandemic, as far as the process, it was a 10-year process. To now, you know, contractors raising the prices and change orders. And we were warned. Let's be honest here. Shouts out to, you know what, for the sake, I ain't going to say their name, but they know who they are. That gave us some game. Two black men, an electrician, and somebody who ran the unions. Gave us some game. Like, hey, man, be careful with this company y'all thinking about going with. They have a history of, you know, cutting corners, raising prices. But anyway, we had a crazy ride in getting the development to where it is. Put together all these creatives. We had DJ Willie Shakes from Power Forward Media. We had art therapy. We had dance. We had DJ lessons, podcasts, recording studios, smaller offices for independent entrepreneurs and businesses. We had all of that lined up, ready to go. Then the evacuation happened. What actually happened? Let's talk about it. Community within the corridor, CWC East Block, opened in December 2022. $68 million affordable housing project built on part of the former Briggs & Stratton complex with sustainable public financing behind it. Substantial public financing behind it. March 25th, 2023, the Milwaukee Health Department ordered roughly 150 residents to evacuate after documentation submitted to the DNR that was submitted by developers. Did the testing and submitted by developers to the DNR show TCE at more than 190 times the acceptable groundwater vapor level in one part of the building with elevated level in several others? So, DNR itself said it did not know residents had already moved in. This is not true. It was a lie. Because somebody got fired behind it. Y'all met with developers. We had the conversation about it. Developers turned in the numbers. But anyway, DNR Remediation and Redevelopment Program Director Christine Seeger said the department only learned the building was occupied after reportedly requesting the information in the week leading up to the evacuation. Not true. DNR had previously warned the developer against allowing occupancy before a vapor mitigation system was fully commissioned. The warning was not followed, and residents moved in anyway. DNR suggested this part is true, but they made a suggestion after they knew people was already in there. And the other thing that they didn't mention is there were units in the building that had zero traces, but they decided to make over 120 residents evacuate in the middle of a snowstorm at night on buses, city buses at that. I'm talking about a blizzard, not just a regular snowstorm. All right. Then they had a meeting. Had a meeting with so many people on the call. So I asked on the call, being that this is a vapor situation, do we need to let the outside community know about what has been going on? And not like we put the vapor there. Let's be clear. DNR has the ability to issue something called a known party, meaning when a company leaves a site or contaminates a site, they can issue a letter called a known party letter that holds that company or business responsible. You think they gave that to Briggs & Stratton? No. They made black developers, the people that was coming in to clean it up, the people that was reporting it, made us the known party. Then on top of that, evacuated us when in Glendale. Let's go right down the street to Glendale, Bayshore Mall. Another development. Higher levels. No evacuation order. Developers only gave their residents fans and said, oh, this is a Canadian wildfire, so we're giving you this fan to blow the air. So they gave folks fans. They didn't have to move. We asked, hey, we have so many units on site that isn't contaminated. Made us move our families. Glendale, they got to stay right where they are. When asked, I was told, oh, it's a different municipality. So City of Glendale could do things how they want. City of Milwaukee could do things how they want. My issue with that is this was a state thing. So that's coming from the state. That should be across the board the same. But anyway, on the call, I asked them, should we let the folks know about what's going on and what has been going on? They said, so let me tell you what they said to us before I'll tell you what they said about that question. They're telling us how, you know, vapors move. It could offshoot off of building materials. It could move through your pipes. It could move through the walls. It could move through your sewers and so forth. So I asked the question, well, okay, do we need to alert the outside community? They said, no. It doesn't move like that. So the vapor know to stay on our side of the street. But soon as you bring up a bigger picture that you should have been considering, it is, no, it don't move like that. But it moves like that when it's impacting us and our families. But not when it's time to alert the whole community. Like, hey, Briggs and Stratton been here sitting for 30 plus years. Master Lock is right. I'm telling y'all, follow me now, because Master Lock was open while this was going on. I'm just the entertainer. I had to go do the research. A credible source pointed me in the right direction. God bless them. Said, look across the street at Master Lock. And lo and behold, I pulled up the DNR website. You could go on DNR website and see all the open contaminated sites in this city. Oh, and it's a lot of them. A lot of them stores that we go in and shop in right now. All right? It's a lot of them. So I go on the website. I see Master Lock had a historic spill. My God. 1984. I wasn't even born yet. I was still in the islands. Historic TCE spill. 1984. CWC and 2024, whatever year that was, we getting beat up in the media. They just showing up with cameras, showing up to people's office, trying to get questions answered and all of this. And whole time, attorneys is telling us, just be quiet. Don't poke the bear. Don't poke the bear. And me, the entertainer, I got to go do all this extra research now to see what we really dealing with. When we come back, I'm going to give y'all a little bit more of what we was dealing with this, y'all. Because what I found was just extremely mind-blowing. And the lies and the corruption that was told and that was going on in this city that our people pay the ultimate cost for. I couldn't believe. Don't go anywhere, y'all. This is a Grapevine with your boy Ray Nitti on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. What up, y'all? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Grapevine on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth with your boy Ray Nitti. You're talking about what I found, y'all, when I went on DNR's website, and some of the things I found, y'all, on DNR's website when it comes down to the toxic chemicals and footprints that these corporations have. Briggs & Stratton, Bostic, Master Lock. So, yeah, 2008. Master Lock is supposed to be doing what was remediation. And after further digging, I found out Master Lock asked for permits saying, oh, we want to do some beautification to commemorate our 100th year anniversary. Let's put that into perspective. 100 years in a neighborhood. Think about that. This was 2008. It was commemorating 100 years. Saying that that's what they was doing. That's what they needed the permits for. Whole time they needed the permits to do remediation. So they lied about what they needed the permit for. What I also found is Master Lock, their water, their groundwater, runoff water, not only does it run off into our MMSD water system, our sewage system, it also dumps off into the Washington Park Quarry. This is on the webs. This is on DNR's website. If we don't know what's at Washington Park Quarry, something over there called Urban Ecology Center. So I asked folks, like, hey, man, we need to test these, the waters. We need to test the neighbors across the street. We need to, you know, do some extensive tests. So now everything is hitting the fan now. The articles is out. News reporters chasing us down, Gideon on our heels. You know, we getting told to be quiet by attorneys. And what the rapper do? Y'all know I don't know how to just be quiet. You know I don't. So I start asking questions. Journal Sentinel beating us the hell up. I reach out, like, to hell with this. Do you not see these fools across the street with historic spills? Then an article comes out, bringing a broader question into play now. Now all the articles stop. We don't get attacked no more. They talk about Master Lock once. Then Master Lock shuts down. Master Lock randomly shuts down their operations. They closing it, citing, oh man, you know, we financial issues. They're like, let's get out of here while these niggas getting blamed. That's what I felt. That's what it felt like to me. I had to talk to the union rep. They didn't even know about the TCE and stuff that they had spilled. And they didn't know. They didn't know. So, yeah, the entertainer. I got to do all of this research. And upon this research, I'm trying to figure out, okay, who can I talk to? Because we getting treated now. We getting treated and beated right now. So I look on DNR website. Looking at who all on all these committees, and who the hell do I see on DNR's advisory committee? Our damn lawyer. So the same person, I can't make it up. The same person telling us to be quiet. Don't poke the bear. Just let this go past. Is advising the DNR on the advisory board. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, but that sounds like a conflict of interest to me. So that provoked me to run for office. I said, I can't be quiet about this. I got to use my platform, my voice to speak up. And as a partner of the development, we're being told to be quiet. Don't say nothing. But as a member of this community, I can't. Hell no. So I run for office, y'all, and start telling these stories. And then guess what? These politicians start showing exactly who they are. Bob Bauman, Joe Costa, Marina. I ran for 4th district because it was the most influential district in the city. And it would cause people to ask questions, who does this Negro think he is? That he can run for the most prominent district in the city of Milwaukee. It wasn't about the win, it was about the message. And I saw how they organized to keep me quiet. They had special conferences to talk about the development. I remember this specifically. People were saying, hey, Nitty, you got to call all of the alders, man, and just ask them for support. I'm like, I don't want to call them. So I called them anyway. Some I left a message because some didn't answer. Some straight up said, hey, I'm supporting my colleague Bob, Marina. She said that. Which is why I won't vote for her in whatever it is she's running for in this upcoming election. Joe Costa either. How y'all spoke to me, how y'all treated me as somebody that was asking questions, terrible. Question y'all leadership. How y'all weaponized the political process against us, terrible leadership. They held hearings about the site, about the development, never invited developers and putting on this show. Marina, where's developers? We'd love to hear from developers. Well, we'd have loved a damn invite. When you got over 19 open TCE cases in your district. These are games that they was playing. Sending threatening text messages to people that they were assuming supporting me. You're really on the wrong side of this one, and you're going to pay the price. This is what they saying to people. Our leaders, they want raises. They want other positions. Get out of here. For context, the DNR BRRTS database is a public searchable at apps.dnr.wi.gov/BOTW. It tracks every reported hazardous substance discharge in Wisconsin, open investigations, closed cleanups, and everything in between. You can put your own address in there and see what's around you. Focus specifically on TCE. I ain't even going to try to say the word. But trichloroethylene, that's just one of the toxic chemicals that we tracked. Milwaukee County alone had well over 832 sites that are current on former TCE cleanup locations. I'm going to tell y'all this too. Over 300 of them are residential properties, meaning that people are still living on or near documented contamination sites right now. Right now. Sites plus tied to just one chemical in one county. One chemical in one county. That's just one chemical. I'm just saying, y'all, when we gonna really get serious about environmental injustice in our neighborhoods? We act so upset about everything, but we don't be loud about the things that is impacting us right now. I wish, and maybe it's happening, call in and correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't see this type of environmental injustice support from the individuals that was loud at the Midtown Data Center. We got real life toxic situations right now that the community could use support and a voice for. Lena been arguing about lead till her face got blue, so much so they said, go and get another job, damn it. We tired of you. Go be a judge. Now she can't tell us nothing. Y'all see how that work? You give the loudest person that's screaming on your behalf, give them a job where they got to watch what they say now. I ain't no lawyer. I ain't no doctor. I ain't none of this. But I'm just saying what it looked like to me. Don't go anywhere, y'all. When we come back, we'll be getting deeper into the story. And we're going to talk about Master Lock and the abandoned sites nobody talking about. It's Ray Nitti on the Grapevine, 101.7 The Truth, y'all. What up, y'all? What up? What up? What up? What up? What up? What up? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. It's your boy Ray Nitti holding it down. Brother Z got me on the production and sound, man. We talking about this toxic-ass town. Excuse my language. I think I can say that one. Jesus wrote in on one of those. It's in the Bible. But we talking about the toxic untold story in the city of Milwaukee. Beyond lead, y'all. Lena was loud for us. I'm trying to tell y'all. They silenced her, gave her a job that she can't tell us too much anymore. Call it a conspiracy, whatever you want, but I know it's true. Abandoned sites. Nobody talks about Master Lock. They left, y'all, in the middle of us getting blamed for a spill they caused. And on DNR's website, they have a map of the impacted areas that Master Lock historic spill contaminated. So I want y'all to think of this cluster. You got Master Lock on 32nd and Center on the south side of the block. You have Briggs and Stratton on 32nd and Center on the north side of the block. And then you have Bostick on like 28th and Center, east of Master Lock on the south side of the block. All these places, the Master Lock manufacturing complex on Center Street has a documented history of TCE contamination. A documented history. Complaints about TCE exposure tied to the site were reported publicly. Guess what? What I just say? Just south of the community within the corridor apartments before Master Lock Milwaukee operation wound down. I'm just saying. I'm going to read it again. I'm read it a little bit less passionate, so maybe people hear it and they take it serious when I read it like this. The Master Lock Manufacturing Complex on Center Street has a documented history of TCE contamination. Complaints about TCE exposure tied to the site were reported publicly just south of the community within the corridor apartments before Master Lock's Milwaukee operations wound down. Maybe y'all hear it different. DNR records also show TCE contamination on this corridor dates back to the industrial use in the area beginning in the 1980s. Meaning some of this contamination has been sitting in the ground, migrating through soil and groundwater for over 40 years. 40 years before the nearby development triggered new testing. 40 years. Milwaukee Diecast in a textbook abandoned site. 4132 North Holton Street. The Milwaukee Diecast site sits abandoned. Its owner deceased, according to the EPA's own site records, in a mixed residential, commercial, and industrial neighborhood. The building itself, the soil beneath it, and the groundwater are all contaminated with PCBs, a chlorinated solvent including PCE and TCE, despite a fence around the property.
They think if you put a fence in it, it just keep it in. Like
EPA's own record notes frequent trespassing at that site, meaning contamination exposure risk isn't hypothetical. It's actively occurring because the responsible owner is dead and no one legally succeeded them. This is exactly the kind of site that could sit in bureaucratic limbo indefinitely. There is no living party for the DNR EPA to compel into action the way they can with an operating company. I go a little further. Briggs and Stratton's fingerprint, the community within the corridor site itself, which we're about to go deep in, sits on what was once part of the Briggs and Stratton Industrial Complex, one of Milwaukee's largest legacy manufacturers before redevelopment turned it into affordable housing. These aren't isolated bad luck properties. Master Lock, Milwaukee Die Casting, and the old Briggs & Stratton footprint are all within the same general center street near Northside Industrial Corridor. Meaning generations of Milwaukee's Black and Latino Northside residents have lived and continue to live in the overlap zone of multiple legacy industrial contamination sites, not just one. Not just one. Okay? Not just one. I'm trying to get y'all to understand what's been going on, what we've been quiet about, the things we choose to use our voice for, our Facebook statuses for. We got real infected, poisoned people walking around Milwaukee undiagnosed. We use the data from all of these different places, the Medical College of Wisconsin, all of these places, we use this data to say, oh, the exposure to lead impacts behavioral choices and cognitive dissonance. So what does all these other chemicals do now when we just got a toxic soup? What do we do? What is the impact of that? What's the impact of that? We got our residents displaced. Glendale got to keep their residents on site. We had many, many sites with zero levels. They allowed Glendale residents to stay on site, made us move our families way to the south side. Residents was displaced for over 2 years, y'all. We had people living in hotels. Gave people back rent. Got sued. Class action. Got a class action lawsuit. I'm telling y'all, whole time we going through lawsuits, the lawyer is advising DNR. Marina and Joe Costa is holding fake hearings for political BS.
Where's developers? We'd like to hear from developers. I don't see them here. You didn't invite us
because you didn't want to hear the truth about how many open TCE sites was in y'all district. Because when I brought that up to them, they weren't expecting, you know, the entertainer, the rapper, the dude that made Bow to do some research and present some like, hey, are you as equally concerned about the people being exposed in your district? Do you want to hear from the developers that have open sites in your district? But when I said that, it was, well, I'm going to get off this call now because I don't like your tone.
Oh. Oh. Now it's you don't like my tone.
Which was very similar to the move pulled against Mark Chambers. Soon as somebody don't say something you like, a black man's tone is offensive and threatening. But what's not threatening is y'all ignoring families being poisoned for over 40 years. But that's not threatening. I didn't raise my voice. I wasn't yelling. I simply asked. I was like, well, I hope that you have the same concern. Do you even know how many open sites are in your district? You have the most.
Oh, I ain't going to end this conversation here because I don't like your tone.
I don't like your haircut. Don't go anywhere, y'all. We'll be right back after these messages on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.